Remote has exposed a lot of inefficiencies within businesses. And actually, leadership is a skill rather than a role. To be honest, I think facilitation is a form of leadership. You're leading a team to solve a problem together. I think it's really around a design-led process and way of solving that rather than technology or a financial way to lead. I think these are problems and you can design solutions for. You can really help the leadership and your colleagues by treating hybrid as a problem to solve.
Welcome to the Remote First podcast. Every week we invite guests from large or innovative companies to share their insights on enabling an equitable and distributed workplace experience. I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Remote First. Today I am with Ross Chapman. Ross is especially an experienced remote design sprint facilitator. He experienced in-office facilitation, remote facilitation, and now the topic of 2021. What about running hybrid workshops? So thank you for joining, Ross.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm so happy that you're joining. I want to get all the information out of your brain and everything that you have in mind because of the world changing and the fact that now a lot of people are talking about wanting to go back to the office or having some sort of a hybrid setup. And when it comes to collaboration and workshops, it can be quite challenging. So I would really like to talk to you about that today.
It is the topic of 2021. Lots of people are looking to hybrid working as the solution to their problems. And I think they need to take a view as to what that means for them and their teams and ultimately what they want to achieve. So yeah, let's get into that.
So before we do that, can you tell us a bit more the story, a little bit of like how you got to where you are now? How the company evolved, like how did it bring you to remote facilitation and now like thinking into hybrid?
Yeah, absolutely. Great questions. So I run virtual workshops and have done pre-pandemic. I've found that my gift is engaging teams online. I found that through the design sprints that I run, and if anyone's not familiar, it's a way of solving a problem by collecting ideas, creating a prototype and testing with real people, whether this solves their problem or not. It's a user-centered design process. And I found that running these design sprints with teams, that one of them wanted to run this remotely. And this was nearly 2 years ago now. And I'd never done that before. I needed to kind of plan what that looked like. And started to run remote design sprints and share what they look like. I kickstarted a community called Remote Sprinters, nearly 3,000 members in our Facebook group there. And what I'm excited about remote collaboration and working together wherever you are in the world is I think there's more to be solved there. I call it the Wild West. I mean, there's so many different tools and solutions and ways of using this technology. I also think that the vast majority of facilitators, it will go back to their workshop rooms. I think a lot of people are missing the body language. They like working with the energy in the room, and I'm just more interested in developing this practice in a virtual setting. So yeah, my job day to day looks like solving problems with teams around the world in different industries in a virtual environment. And I'm wholly passionate about that. I feel like we can be more human by working around what we want to do in our lives and work fits in with that rather than we needing to go to the factory and be present and look like we're delivering. I think the pandemic and the lockdowns that we've had, that has revealed some of the kind of the misalignment or the problems within some of how we collaborate as a team, and I'm interested in solving that as we go forward.
Interesting you said, like, I think we're better, or like we're better humans, you know, working maybe in that environment, or the fact that the way that we are working remotely, because many would say it's less human to be working in separate rooms and being all like alone in their own home office, or depending of which workplace they have. What do you mean by that, by being more human?
In my experience of being in pandemic situation and having the whole family at home, I haven't had to have a commute. I haven't had to travel for my work. I've been able to take my children to school in the morning. I've been able to run out and get some coffee when we run out. I've been able to accept deliveries as they arrive at home. And I've been able to help my family when they come back from school, or my wife works at home as well. And I feel like it's more of a human existence that we're living in. I think the constructs of going to the factory, and I do call it the factory, because it that idea hasn't really moved on in over, you know, a long time. I think that I'm able to express myself in a way that I can control being in front of my screen. It seems odd to people. I don't think many people really engage with living a life of being on a computer at home, and some are looking forward to meeting with their colleagues. I just think that for a performance-based culture, and for me, that means doing the best work of my life with the best people in the world, remote opens up a whole opportunity of meeting new people. I love having new conversations with new people around the world every week. I didn't have that before. And I think I'm becoming a better person for it. So when I say becoming more human, I think I mean having that flexibility that people talk about, but it being centered around myself and my family and my friends. And I'm able to have control and manage the work that I do, the way that I do it, and who I do it with in a much better way, I think.
Beautiful words. Like, it really means a lot to me that you're saying all of this. I can quite resonate with that feeling of just wanting to be able to fit your work around your life instead of the other way around. Just this side of like that the base is like me, my family, my surrounding, what I choose for myself, and then after fitting the work, the best work that you want to be doing around it. So yeah. Really feel that.
Totally. And people are moving with they're voting with their feet. There have been so many moves that I've seen on LinkedIn over the last 12 to 18 months. I think people are recognizing that they don't have to work at the local company that they do. They can actually work anywhere in the world. And that is incredibly interesting to me. From the employer point of view, you're able to work with the best talent in the world, not just the ones on your doorstep. So that is a huge win. Mm-hmm. And from the employee point of view, you have more choice than ever. So for me, it's a win-win. The remote and, you know, as we'll talk about hybrid work, I think it's an enabler. I don't think it's the thing that we did when we were in a pandemic and can't wait to get back to the factory. I think we've had a taste for it and we need more reps of it.
But now that we are, you know, a week and a half in, people have been a week and a half, a year and a half, only if it was a week and a half, it's been a year and a half that people experience remote work and, you know, all sorts of ways. And now slowly people will reopen office because, you know, it is part of the work culture a lot, real estate and everything. People spend a lot of money in creating these big hubs and experience. So there will be a mix of office and remote, which is going to be like, we'll see how this is going to be looking like in the future. But to you, like, how are you seeing now, if you were to facilitate workshops in a team that is hybrid? It's like, we have people that are in the office, some people will be remote. Like, how will workshops look like?
It's a good question. I've had a taste of this a few years ago when I would be working with a team. It wasn't a good use of time and money to get to where they were. So we opted for a Skype call, as we used to use it. And there was always more power or more of a draw to the conversation that was happening in the office. The people that dialed in seemed to be observers to what the action was rather than part of the conversation. And the challenge around hybrid, less so with remote, the challenge with hybrid is that different people are interacting in a different way. So it's not as leveled as remote. If you've got a screen in front of you and a microphone, then you're in the same situation as everyone else. In a hybrid environment, there is a tendency to fall into bad habits. And I call, you know, those bad habits to be having conversations without engaging with the team that are remote. I call those conversations the ones where people have decided to meet because they're nearby, and then they need to share what they decided with the rest of the group on Teams or Slack. It starts to erode some of the great work that remote enabled. And, you know, I'm interested in the hybrid work because the market is asking for it. Mm-hmm. My customers are asking for it. And some of the teams that I work with ask for it. I'm incredibly skeptical about how that's going to work. And the reason I want to investigate and talk about it and have conversations with people about it is because there's so much interest, I want to understand and help to solve this problem. And some teams have, and some teams have tried and failed. And I'm interested in experimenting now because, like you alluded to, people are starting to go back to the office, or some have and some aren't. How can people that run workshops accommodate for both?
Do you have an answer for that? Or do you have maybe some ideas that you are already kind of like juggling with, and you're thinking maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that? Or do you think that it's basically really either overrated or underrated? I don't know which one.
Yeah, I've got a few views. I think ultimately it shouldn't matter where you are, but what you are doing. And so the location of that conversation it isn't important, but as long as everyone has equal access. I like what Jim Kolbach said around the fact that technology won't save you, the right behaviors and practices will. People think this is a technology problem, but it's not. We are so well practiced as to what to do when we arrive at the office, what we do when we walk into a meeting room. People are still writing, you know, minutes where they could be auto-transcribing it, but there we go. It is the behaviors and the practices. And the concern is, and I will try and add to the picture of the future, but the trouble is that leaders will often, and especially at the end of a lockdown and a pandemic, go back to what was safe, comfortable, and recognizable. And so they'll go in their old habits of trying to get everyone back to the same place.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm actually worried about.
Yeah.
I'm worried about having, actually, we all want to go remote, but then when it will experience hybrid and then be thinking, okay, now we're doing hybrid workshops or hybrid meetings, and then realize, oh, we don't really know how to do that. It doesn't work. Everyone go back to the office. It just doesn't work. And
yeah,
then
you exclude colleagues if they're not able to be where you are. And it has, and hopefully we'll find better ways of doing it. Remote has always played second fiddle to that situation. I think in terms of solutions, there are a few, and that was your question. I think the office requires more thought. I think they need to either be designed in a better way. The ways that I've seen this solved are, even in a large office, the individual members of a workshop would sit not next to each other. They'd find different areas within the office. That is one way. You're essentially pretending to be remote, and that can work to start with. I find that you just need to treat everyone with the same level of access. And I think some of the methods that we've tried over the last 12 months need to be codified. For example, decision-making is probably the one thing that people feel like they need to meet in person to do. It's important that we solve this problem, and to solve it properly, we need to meet up. Maybe you're talking about reducing cost in the business, or relocating, or you've got some annual reviews or something like that. That is where a good leadership team that has a view on what their employees look like and what their colleagues are experiencing, they need to use techniques like voting to make decisions. They need to empower the rest of their team to feed into that, because, like I say, remote has exposed a lot of inefficiencies within businesses. And actually, leadership is a skill rather than a role. I think, just like facilitation is, I think facilitation is a form of leadership. You're leading a team to solve a problem together. And I just think that it's ultimately, like Jim says, the behaviors, which take time, the practices, which need to be documented, improved, automated to a degree, and automated with care, not just you getting automated Slack messages that don't speak to people as they would want to be communicated to. And I think it's really around, in my view, a design-led process and way of solving that, rather than a technology or a financial way to lead. I think these are problems and you can design solutions for. So any designer within a team or with an organization, this is your time to shine. This is where you can really help the leadership and your colleagues by treating hybrid as a problem to solve.
I mean, I think design thinking to try to solve that problem.
It's the thing to use. It's the tool it's the toolkit. It's the one to get something out of.
Hey there, just taking a few seconds to mention our sponsor, Remotiv.io, who is an awesome supporter for this podcast. Since 2014, Remotiv is helping top distributed companies hire remote workers. Going remote has opened your company to the world, so going Remotiv will channel your jobs to the best talents out there. You like the podcast so far? You can now subscribe and visit our new website, remotefirst.fm, where you can find all links, show notes, and resources for each episode. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. And now, let's get back to the show.
I have an exact situation that I was in where I experienced working in an office for a very short period of time. And my first day trying work in an office, I experienced a hybrid retrospective, which was some 3 or 4 employees tuning in from a Zoom call and all the rest of the team being in office. and having to go through a retrospective, using sticky notes inside of the office, and then basically asking the people on the call, okay, so what are your sticky notes? Okay, I'm going to write them down for you and then put them on the wall. Like, I was very surprised and a bit acknowledging there was really a problem. Like, this is a hybrid workshop retrospective happening. And it was so weird because everyone was on a laptop on a little stand right next to everyone, very small, you know, really not equal in the retrospective, and couldn't access and visualize things as well as everybody else. It was very difficult. So what are you thinking? Or actually, also bring my thoughts, but like, if we wanted to like redesign that experience to be better, like, do you have ideas on like how things could be better in that setup?
I think to start with, I saw an activity from Mural around each part of the each employee took a standard week, and each were invited to write down which days they would be interested in being in person and which days they would like to be remote. That, using design thinking again, that was a way to gather how people felt and just to see any trends that came on. I think in the example they did, Monday was not a day to go in the office for the majority of people, but some people felt like that was a good start to their week. Another, you know, exercise found that Friday was one to be more remote, and people felt like they were towards the end of the week, low on energy. And what was interesting was they categorized remote work as the time to focus more. And so there may be a split in some businesses where in-person may be highly collaborative and then remote is highly focused, but highly productive. So that might be a solution to some teams in the way that they work. I think,
you meaning that you want to have maybe focusing more on the remote experience as being focused work, and then in person being more like collaborative, or like we had another guest on the podcast talking about brain writing, or like having, you know, people just thinking on their own separately, taking the time to really like put everything together and all their thoughts together before the meeting even happens, and then have a Google Doc, share the Google Doc, and then be able to see everyone's answer all at the same time, and now be able to go brainstorm right away instead of being like, okay, now everyone take the time to think about your points that you want to bring on the table. Maybe it's done a bit more asynchronously now.
I'm glad you said asynchronously, because I think people are going to confuse some of these terms. I think they're new to people. So they might be saying asynchronously to solve the problem over a longer period of time to people's convenience to adding to that workshop, where they might be using the word hybrid, which is essentially, in their view, running the workshop in a virtual and a in-person environment. So yeah, there's a new vocabulary to learn around not just hybrid, asynchronous work, remote, and there's, you know, and flexibility. People use the word flexibility, but is that an employer-led term or is that an employee-led term? Does it matter that I start at 9 and finish at 5 if I complete my work? Or is it a different case where I'm able to, you know, measure the success of the work that we're doing in a different way? Maybe it's just looking at Trello and seeing that the cards are moving over. You know, we don't have to add surveillance to anything. We can just use the tools that we've got to measure how we're succeeding in performance. There are so many ways to start solving this, I think it requires a element of humility, a experimentation mindset, and virtually a repeat of what we did 12 months ago where we went remote. Now we need to reset and experiment with what this looks like when we're working in a hybrid manner. So those are a few ideas that I have.
Which activities that you were facilitating before, maybe that were like live, would you see that would be asynchronous-able?
Yeah. Well, thankfully, so I was part of an event called Google Relay towards the beginning of the year, and I ran a workshop about data-driven design sprints. But my friend Alison Coward, she ran a workshop around asynchronous sprints and what that would look like. And virtually half of the activities within the design sprint can be done asynchronously. Any individual work doesn't have to be done within a group setting. So if you're doing individual sketches, that can be done at your own time asynchronously. If you're doing voting, that doesn't have to be at the same time. If you're looking to learn from others and say you've done some research by doing some expert interviews, you can record them so you can listen to them at your convenience. All of this, like I said earlier, is great for the employee in how they want to manage and how they want to approach work. The more synchronous activities is that group work on what does this prototype look like? Shall we put that together? The prototyping element, that can be done by a couple of people. And even user testing and validating ideas, that can be done asynchronously. Actually, in the 150 design sprints I've run, user testing, usually on a Thursday, was my format. I'd find that the energy of the team, they'd be present for Monday, they'd be present for Tuesday. Wednesday was when we created the prototype, so we didn't need the whole team. And for me, the gold is when we use a test and when we test with five users. And it was hard to get the rest of the team to join in. I think hearing firsthand from real customers what they think of your idea and how they think it can solve their problem, I think that's gold. I think that is the most important thing. But business as usual, people prioritizing other demands from them, a few could make the first one or two interviews, but couldn't make all five. And so I think sometimes you have to deal with the reality of the situation. And I think those kind of activities can be done asynchronously. So I think asynchronous work is probably a solution to hybrid collaboration.
Even just remote collaboration. I did some design sprint remotely, and I could not call it a sprint because it was not the typical 5 days. It would take 2 to 3 weeks to finish a sprint because we were doing the asynchronicity. It is much longer to do. Like, it takes more time, but you kind of take into account that you will not have the same full focus remotely than if you are all together in the same room with energy from the people. Like, it is different, but you are getting a lot more benefits from the fact that people are more focused and much more like thoughtful in what they're bringing on the table when they are remote. I think it's kind of like a in between. Maybe it takes a little longer, but people are a bit more focused. I'm curious to know like how a remote design thinking, a design sprint workshop works when you are doing the exact 5 day setup remotely. I'm wondering how the energy level is. What should you just answer saying that people are losing energy at some point in the week, which I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I learned early on in the remote work that I was doing and remote design sprints that I've been championing, that actually a online workshop has a limiting factor of about 4 hours. After 4 hours, there's too much screen time, but you need that together time to, like you say, gain that focus. So what we did was actually sliced the design sprint and require half the time from people. So I typically use a 4-day model, usually go into a second week to iterate or pivot. And iterate means build upon the idea and the solution. Pivot means at the end of the design sprint, the solution wasn't valuable, people didn't get it, and we need a new idea. And that's what we go into the second week. As someone that works in an agency, it's quite hard to sell failure. It's probably not what people are buying or want to buy. I have to work with the reality of situations, but I do embrace failure. So we slashed the workshops from a 2-day in-person workshop, which, you know, I can be nostalgic about the past a bit. The attendees felt like they were off-sites. We treated them, we got them lunch. If they stayed and they didn't have to get the tube home, they would stay for wine, and we would get to know them and they would get to know us. And, you know, that's probably the limit of my agency schmoozing. You know, I looked at it from the experience of my clients, and to them, they were having a great time, which, you know, I'm obsessed by the experience of the teams that I work with, not just the work that we do together. And so bringing that virtually, we had to solve that in a different way. And the way I solved that was I work with Mural now and again. They suggested that a maximum of 4 hours is probably optimum for a group to focus together. So I simply compressed each workshop by half a day. And what I was surprised with was even getting rid of, 8 hours, we still got to where we needed to go. It was Parkinson's mm-hmm. law in full effect. The activity will fill the time that you give to it. And with some things being online and using tools like Mural and Zoom, we were actually able to get things together in, it didn't feel rushed. That's probably my point. It didn't feel like we were rushing the process. And in more recent sprints, I've been able to experiment and add a bit of asynchronicity to it. That's how we delivered it, really. We slashed the time and embraced the fact that we were creating ideas and researching in a digital way for digital products that we were going to launch digitally. So it made a lot of sense.
I really want to go back to the hybrid workshops, because you will have to handle that also, which means like having people who are in office and some who are not. And even though it is really not the best scenario, because you said something about like, it's not about technical bit, it's about like how we are actually behave, like what's the behavior of everyone. If we think remote first, this would mean we think that every individual can collaborate the same way, like if they were remote. We cannot, I don't really preach for the like putting people like separately, like if they are in a little like box, because I just feel like what's the point? Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking maybe there's a way in technology that can be, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is Mural, because they have worked with Microsoft and created a big screen that basically Microsoft Hub, I think, or Surface. Yeah. You probably know better, is in the office. So then the people are in office can use the same interface. Everybody use an connected interface to do their workshops. I'm wondering just for like speaking up, being able to like mute and unmute, all these kind of things, you know, because you don't do that when you're in office. You don't like unmute to say something. You just say it. But if it becomes some sort of a like way of working where you kind of say, you mute yourself if you're not speaking, you raise your hand, or there's some sort of protocols in place so that everybody has a place to do things. Maybe voting also is also done digitally so that everybody see the same thing. And I just feel like there is, I think, an opportunity if we change the way that we are just seeing collaboration. Like, I feel like there can be this kind of hybrid aspect and that everybody feels included. And tools like Miro, Mural, that are enabling to do workshops online, if they make the experience online more office friendly too, which is like quite cool through the big screen from Microsoft, I feel like it's a good win-win. What do you think about that?
Those are good comments. I think that technology will continue to evolve. I think that there's probably more physical devices and solutions that need to come out. The digital ones are hitting great maturity at the moment. They're becoming more stable, using even finding different ways of engaging, like replacing Zoom for Butter or using another tool in place of another, using more digital tools within a in-person setting, I think is probably where I can see things working much better. Mm-hmm. I think superimposing the office environment onto remote could have some benefits, but I'm less convinced by that. I do wonder if this could spark the death knell of the Sharpie on a post-it note. I know there are tools where you can take a photo and it will kind of recognize what you wrote and it will go on the board. The problem is that you're adding a time delay,
mm-hmm.
and you're adding the fact that you hope the technology can read your writing, which was always the saving grace of using Mural, was that I could start reading people's writing now. It was so hard, like reading everyone else's work and going, I think you wrote this. And in the design sprint, we have to evaluate solutions without knowing the inventor. So I was kind of reading these solutions and these sketches going, I think it says panda, but I'm not sure. And I can't ask the person that wrote it because that would give the whole game away. I think there will be ways, just like Microsoft's Surface Hub. I hope over time it will become more affordable to more teams. I think some of this technology is like, it reminds me of the early years of getting solar panels. It was super expensive and now it's come down in price as technology matures.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that'll happen. I honestly think Apple need to put a touch screen on the iMac. I was surprised that they haven't done that yet.
Mm.
I think there just will be more attention on making in office tools more digitally enabled. They mm-hmm. haven't had to be up to this point. Now they do. So I'm interested in what that does. For me, I'm not able to add to that conversation. I am able to add to the practices and the processes. So I guess that's where I have to stay in my lane.
Well, thank you. That's all like so valuable. You also mentioned Butter, and this is a very new tool that it was just launched recently, which is a virtual workshop platform. We're going to actually have the CEO of the platform in the next episode, so people can come back to the podcast next week to hear a bit more about that startup. But thank you so much, Ross, for all your knowledge and all your thoughts on the topic. It's been super nice to have a chat with you. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.